firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you?
Why do wicked men and women often flourish and everything they do seem to prosper? Well, we'll find out the answer to that question and so many more today on Through the Bible with our Bible teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee. I'm your host, Steve Schwetz, and our journey through Psalms 36 begins in just a minute. So quickly find your seat on the Bible bus, and let's welcome Through the Bible's President Greg Harris, who's here to share some wonderful letters that we've been receiving in response to our ministry in India. Hi, Greg.
As you know, Steve, every week we receive reports from all over the world, and we are always excited to read the reports that come from India. And often we have to use our imagination to begin to understand the situation that many of our listeners live in. For example, we just received a report from our ministry in the Koch Baroque language. A listener named Harendra told us that he grew up in a remote village in the far eastern part of India. And here's what his letter says. Our village is surrounded by forests and a mountain range. It is only a few years that we have had electricity in our village, but we still lack transportation. The villagers have to travel on foot for 2 or 3 miles even to buy their essentials. Most of the people in my village were animists. They worshipped big trees, big stones, the sun, and the moon. They also worshipped different spirits and worshipped a plethora of gods and goddesses. The people of my village were in bondage to numerous witches and practitioners of black magic who lived there. I was living in fear, and I used to sacrifice many animals to save me, but I became tired of all this. Now, Steve, let me just stop there and say that there are untold thousands of Through the Bible listeners around the world in similar situations. While technology is proliferating, there are billions around the world who do not have access to the internet and mobile phones. And many of our listeners live in primitive conditions and are under the bondage of evil spirits. Now, let's go back to this young man's letter. He says, I started listening to Through the Bible along with a few of my friends, and I sensed a change in my heart. The messages encouraged me tremendously, and I started to tune in regularly. I accepted Jesus into my heart as my personal Lord and Savior. I married a Christian girl, and we both love listening to your program regularly. We thank God for this program through which our spiritual lives are blessed tremendously. And Steve, it's letters like that that remind us why we are working so hard to take the whole word to the whole world.
Well, that was a great letter, and you're so right, Greg. You know, I got to share one too. This one is from a listener of our Chhattisgarhi language broadcast in India. I'm very happy to share my testimony of how the Lord Jesus Christ has saved me and made me a new creation. I am 41 years old and live in a small village. I was in darkness living a sinful life. I used to eat tobacco, drink alcohol daily, and told many lies. After 12 years of marriage, my wife and I were not able to have children, so I worshipped idols even more. I went to many doctors, witchcrafts, practitioners, gurus, temples, and mosques, and spent lots of money, but gained nothing. I was so disappointed in my life because many people in my village mocked me and my wife. One evening in August 2015, I was sick in bed listening to the radio. That's when I heard your program. I liked it and began to listen regularly. Slowly, it became my favorite program, and I contacted your office. To my surprise, they visited my home and prayed for my family. Since then, my heart is filled with joy as I listen. We have repented of our sins and accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. We believe that Jesus Christ has forgiven us. We try to walk in His path. We are grateful that after only 5 months, the Lord listened to our prayers, and today we have a small daughter. We named her Blessy after the Lord's goodness. It is because of your program I now know the Lord, and I am grateful. My family members and relatives oppose our faith, but we experience the peace and joy of the Lord in our life. Thank you for your work. Well, praise God for that letter. And, you know, we'd invite you to join our world prayer team as we travel on our knees through India this week. And together, we'll praise the Lord for the work that He's doing in the lives of listeners like these. And then we'll ask Jesus to reach more with the good news of eternal life. Now, let's go to the Lord in prayer as we come to our study. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the work that you're doing through your word as it goes out to the world today. We pray that those who hear your truth will turn to you in faith. As we come to our study, Lord, give us a deep hunger to know you better. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now today, as we come to this 36th Psalm, and I find now that I'm going to have to increase the tempo here, or we'll be here not only through the summer, but through the winter. And I can't think of a better place to be than in the Psalms, but after all, this Bible bus must continue rolling. And in Psalm 36 here, we have actually a picture of the wicked. And David is the author of this psalm, and he begins it with the transgression of the wicked saith within my heart that there is no fear of God before his eyes. Now the Septuagint translation of this, which is the Greek translation made by the 70 in Egypt, changes that somewhat, and I'm not sure but what they probably were closer to the original than our translation, and it reads, the wicked hath an oracle of transgression in his heart. Now, what is that oracle of transgression that's in the heart? It's that old nature that you and I have, the Adamic nature. And the Lord Jesus said, you remember in Matthew 15:19, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. And this is a pretty ugly brood that come out of the human heart. There's no fear of God before his eyes. Now that's quoted by Paul in Romans 3:18. And here is a revelation of the wicked. For you see that out of the heart come these things, and it is, as it were, in the translation we've given, the wicked hath an oracle of transgression in his heart, that old evil nature that we have. And that's the answer, I think, to those who say the conscience should be your guide. Well, the conscience is not your guide. The Holy Spirit is your guide, but your conscience will be a thermometer or a barometer to let you know after you've done a thing whether you should have or not. But the Spirit of God should be your guide. And the conscience is that which will prick you after you've done it. And so there is that old nature that's within us. And there's no fear of God before the eyes of the wicked. They make brave statements today. Now, the next verse indicates that he flattereth himself in his own eyes. And Matthew Henry, in his commentary, has a very interesting statement in this connection. He says, sinners are self-destroyed. They are self-destroyers by being self-flatterers. Satan could not deceive them if they did not deceive themselves. But will the cheat last always? No, the day is coming when the sinner will be undeceived, when his iniquity shall be found hateful. I think that one of the things that the lost will have to live with throughout eternity is an old nature that he's going to learn to hate. That will be the thing that will make his own little hell on the inside of his skin, by the way. Now, I proceed on here. It says the words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. I met a man on the golf course, fine-looking man, retired, had had a fine position. But all that his mouth could say was just iniquity. Every breath he uttered was to take God's name in vain. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He hath ceased to be wise and to do good. He deviseth mischief upon his bed. He setteth himself in a way that is not good. He abhorreth not evil. Actually, in his bed, he plans to do evil the next day. What a picture that we have here. And it's a frightful picture, by the way. Now, when we come here to verse 5, we have a picture of God and what God is. And listen to this. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. Thy righteousness is like the great mountains. Thy judgments are a great deep. O Lord, Thou preservest man and beast. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God! Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. Now, these are blessed, wonderful words. And this is the God that man rejects. This is the God that man has no fear of. And the wicked do not know this God. And they do not know what it is to be under the shadow of his wings. And that's the place where the righteous find refuge. I'd like to talk about the wings of Jehovah, but we did that back in the 19th of Exodus when God told Israel, "You've seen what I did to the Egyptians, how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself." Now, we find under his wings there's protection, there's security and rest, and also the warmth of his love. The Lord Jesus, you'll recall, he said to Jerusalem, he said, "How many times I would have gathered you as a mother hen gathers her little ones under her wings, and you would not." And this is the God that many are rejecting today. Now, it concludes with this word, verse 11 and 12, "Let not the foot of pride come against me, and let not the hand of the wicked remove me. There are the workers of iniquity fallen, they're cast down, and they shall not be able to rise." What a picture this is. It's a prayer now, and here in this section, he prays that God will continue his mercy and his grace to him, and he'll not fall under the wicked. I think that's something every believer today. You and I are in a wicked, mean world. And my prayer always is, "Oh God, don't let me fall in the hands of the wicked." Now we have in Psalm 37 that we come to now, another Psalm of David, and it's what is known as an acrostic psalm. That means it's alphabetical in the Hebrew, which would be each verse would begin, or a section would begin, with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And you'll notice here that this psalm has about 40 verses, which would mean about two verses would take in each letter of the Hebrew alphabet, beginning with Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dalet, and so on, all the way through. We have that today. That's the way we instruct little folk. I remember when I was a little fella, I can still remember the book I got. A is for apple, B is for baby, C is for cat, and there's a picture of each one of them there. My, that was the way we started off. You have that in this psalm here, and this has been a psalm that's been a great blessing to God's people down through the years, and so often, though, misapplied. Now, will you notice, here he says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither like the green herb." Now, this was something that troubled David apparently a great deal. And we'll find later on that another one of the writers in Scripture, in fact, if you go over to the 73rd Psalm, you will find that Asaph, he faced this perplexing problem, by the way. Now, the reason that you find that here, and especially in the Old Testament, is that God promised the believers in the Old Testament, he promised them earthly and material prosperity. He has not promised that to believers today. Our hope is not on the earth. The hope of Israel was upon this earth. And therefore, when the man of that day looked about him, and he saw the ungodly prospering. The fact of the matter is, here was an ungodly man, and his fields were producing, and the rain came down upon his crops, and then down the road a little ways, some poor righteous fellow was having a hard time, and it was difficult in that day for the godly man to understand it. And David had that. David came to the same conclusion as Asaph did. If you go over to Psalm 73, which we'll not do at this time, Asaph said that at the end he saw what would happen, and that the wicked We're going to be cut down, as we're told here, just like the grass. And you remember a few years ago, and I remember I had people in the congregation. Why would God permit Hitler to do what he's doing? Why, he almost won World War II. And why would God permit a man like Mussolini? And by the way, where are they today? You just give God time. He'll deal with them. And it's the end of the wicked that you need to consider. So now he says what we're to do if you look about you today. And this is a problem that disturbs you. There's several things if you'll do, it'll solve your problem. First, verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Now this was a promise to God's earthly people. God says to them, you don't worry about the wicked. You trust in the Lord, and he's going to take care of you. Then verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. And friends, that was for the man in that day, and it's for us today. But I don't know that he's going to give you an apple a day, or I'm not sure that he's going to bless you in your business. But I say this, he's already blessed you with all spiritual blessings, and he'll just shower on you all the spiritual blessings that you can contain. And what are we to do then? Delight thyself in the Lord. That's what we're to do. And then verse 5, another thing we're to do, commit thy way unto the Lord. And there are a great many Christians that are criticizing today, finding fault with God. And friends, they haven't committed their way unto the Lord. Trust also in him. He shall bring it to pass. Give God time. He'll work it out in your life. God's good, friends. You know, the idea of the heathen is that God's terrible. They're idols. Look at them. Ooh, they're hideous. And there are a great many people today, and professing Christians, that don't think God's very good. They think he's sort of a villain. He may turn on you at any moment. He never will. He's your friend. He loves you. He wants to save you. But you've got to commit your way to him, you see. Now, that's not all. In verse 7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Just rest in the Lord. How wonderful it is to rest in him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Don't let him disturb you at all. And then he says, don't get uptight. Cease from anger. Forsake wrath. Don't lose your temper. Don't be upset. Don't be under tension. Cease from anger. Forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any way to do evil. Don't think that you can get by with it, friends. If you're his child, you're really in trouble if you try to get by. For listen to him, for evildoers shall be cut off. But those who wait upon the Lord shall inherit the earth. God's going to see to that. And then verse 11, but the meek shall inherit the earth. That's what God has said. Now, God's going to put a people on this earth someday. I heard of a preacher the other day made the statement God's going to save so many people that there wouldn't be room enough for them on this earth, so he had to have heaven to take care of the overflow. I guess that's what he meant. I don't think he used the term overflow. Well, I want to tell you, heaven is not for the overflow. That's for the church. And there will be an earthly people down here. That is to hopelessly confuse the purposes of God, my friend. Now, will you notice here, the wicked have drawn out the sword. Scripture makes it clear, if you take the sword, you're going to perish that way. Now, verse 16, a little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. I have, in the course of my ministry and traveling around, I've been in the homes of very poor saints and also in very rich saints. And my experience has been that the happiest saints are those that don't have so much. God seems to see to that. And verse 20, but the wicked shall perish. And you let God handle that department. He's working on that, and he'll take care of it. And verse 23, he says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. That is established by the Lord on a foundation that we've seen is the rock, and that rock is Christ. And he delighteth in his way. Does God delight in you today? He could point to Job, and Job wasn't perfect by any means, as we saw when we were there, but God took a delight in him. Now, verse 29, again listen to him. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. Now, God is making good his promise to Abraham and to the children of Israel. He promised them earthly blessings. He did not promise that to you and me. We're blessed with all spiritual blessing. And you're going to get all confused if you try to say God has promised you that. Many Christians are being blessed with material things. May I say to you, that's surplus that you get. That's an added blessing, and if God has blessed you that way, you have a tremendous responsibility. I feel sorry for some of the rich saints because they're not using the money as they should be using it for God today. Now, verse 37 and 38, mark the perfect man. That is perfect toward God in that he's trusted God and rested upon God's salvation. And behold the upright, for the end of that man's peace. God will see to that. Verse 38, but the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. You mark that down. That's as true as the law of gravitation. And God's going to take care of that department. Now we have in Psalm 38 a so-called penitential psalm. That's what it's called, this 38th psalm. Here we find David in deep distress, and his body is wasting away. We have no record of him having this illness. We've seen before that he thanked God for his healing. And here we have, he said, O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. Now, verse 4, he says, for mine iniquities are gone over mine head like a heavy burden. They're too heavy for me. And you and I can't bear our burdens, friend, not the burden of sin. Now he says, my wounds are repulsive and corrupt because of my foolishness. I'm troubled. I'm bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long, for my loins are filled with a loathsome disease. There's no soundness in my flesh. I had a doctor in the first church I served call me into his office one day, showed me this psalm. He says, you know, there are many people believe that David had a venereal disease. He said, I don't. But he said, I was told that in medical school. And he asked me what I thought. Well, I don't think he did. And I think that the Lord Jesus did not have all the diseases. There are those today that take the position that the Lord Jesus Christ, in bearing our sin, also he was diseased. And I want to say to you, that is so untrue. In his birth, it was that holy thing that shall be conceived. And God said of his earthly life, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And when he came to the end of his life, he says, which of you convicteth me of sin? And he was said to be holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. And he was holy when he went to that cross. And in those first 3 hours, man did his worst. But God, in the last 3 hours, did his best for Christ, took upon himself the sin of the world. Now, we need to be very careful here. It was the sin of the world that he took. And when it says he bore our diseases, it's the disease of sin. And you want to know the answer to that? Listen to Simon Peter. And I think he knew what he was talking about when he says in 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. What, of disease? No, of sin. He bore our sins, and he did not have a diseased body, because disease is the result of sin. And, my friend, there was no sin within him. He was a sacrifice that was perfect that went to the cross. It's an awful thing to say Jesus Christ had every disease on the cross. It's a frightful thing to make that statement, by the way. All right, our time is up today, and we're going to move on, actually, to the next psalm, for we've got to gain a little momentum now. Until next time, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
Tomorrow we're in Psalm 39, which Dr. McGee called a psalm for funerals. You know, death isn't a very pleasant subject, even for believers. Most of us would rather talk about something else, but as David says in Psalm 39, We need to know the measure of our days and then realize how frail we really are. He says, certainly every man at his best state is but vapor. Well, we hope that you'll read Psalms 39, 40, and 41 to get your heart ready for our next study. Do you have a free copy of Dr. McGee's notes and outlines for this study in Psalms yet? Why don't you get it today at ttb.org/notes? Or you can download an ebook of the entire set or request an abridged printed version called Briefing the Bible at ttb.org/briefing. Well, I'm Steve Schwetz. As always, grateful for your company today and every day as we continue to make our way through the Bible.
To be my own, sin had left a crimson stain.
We're so grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners who are being used by God to take the whole word to the whole world.